Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third. What is that? A lot of you have heard that before. It's one of the classic comedy sketches of all time by Abbott and Costello. And I think everybody here has probably heard of Abbott and Costello. And as they did that, I thought about maybe reading the whole thing, but when I printed it out, it was almost 11 pages long, and I thought that might be a little bit long to fit in the message. But who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third. And it's a play on words. You know, sometimes we run into situations where there's play on words. But it brought up the questions, who and what are the most important things in our life? Who is first in our life? Then what is second in our life? And of course, for a lot of people, the I don't know part fits into any of the categories, because you ask them a question, and they say, I don't know. I asked my daughter the other day what she wanted for Christmas, and she told me, I don't know. So I thought I would just tell her that I'll get her I don't know for Christmas then. You know? But what is the importance of the order of things in our life? You know, there should be an order in our life. Do we get up and just haphazardly go through everything? We get up in the morning. Well, maybe I'll get out of bed. Maybe I won't get out of bed. Maybe I'll have breakfast. Maybe I won't have breakfast. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. And by the time we shift back and forth and vacillate between this and that and the other and all these things, we're exhausted and tired and we got nothing done. So what is the order of importance of things in our lives? Well, there are three things that we're going to bring into play here in our life, and a lot of people look at the order of these things in different ways. The first way that people could look at it is order of importance. First thing in our life should be God. Second thing in our life should be family. Third thing should be country. Other people say, well, first thing in my life is family. Then it's God. Then it's country. And other people look at it, well, it's family. It's country. It's God. And you could ask hundreds of people that question, and you would get hundreds of variations of that answer. And some of them would, of course, put in there, well, I don't know. I don't know what's the most important thing in my life. Actually, I think we live in a day of a greater age of I don't know than any time in history. We have so much knowledge, but so many people, I don't know. You know? So what is the most important thing in our life? Who do we put first in our life? Think about it. Who do we put first in our life? Well, what does the Bible say about this subject? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about a lot of different things. And first of all, some people will raise the question, well, what about the Bible? What is the Bible? You know, because I know there's a series going to be on TV that's going to try to debunk the Bible. It's coming up, I think, on the History Channel. And they're going to just, well, it's just a bunch of stuff that's not accurate. And it's not this, it's not that, it's not the other. And try to tear down the veracity of God's Word. But what is the Bible? Well, I looked up and the about.com on the internet. And here's what it says. It says the Bible is a compilation of 66 books and letters written by more than 40 authors during a period of approximately 1,500 years. The original text was communicated in just three languages. The Old Testament was written in most part in Hebrew and a small percentage in Aramaic. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. And it goes on to say, the Bible itself claims to be the inspired Word of God, or God-breathed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, the correcting of faults, and training in right living. That's what the Bible is. It is God-breathed. It is inspired, as it says in the King James Version, or God-breathed. It goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." It was not just because somebody decided to sit down, grab a pen, a piece of papyrus, and write out something that he had thoughts about, and write his philosophical views. A lot of people have done that. Some has been good, some not so good. But these men just didn't sit down and decide they're going to write what their thoughts were. They sat down and they began to write the thoughts that God breathed in their life, in their spirit, to write down. You know, and I kind of imagine that at some time, possibly, as they were writing this stuff, it may have even convicted some of them a little bit. You know, when you go to study God's Word, even though you're a Christian, sometimes you get a little bit convicted as you read God's Word, because maybe you are not exactly doing everything you're supposed to be doing. And there are none of us, I don't care how goody-two-shoes we think we are perfect. We make mistakes. We mess up once in a while, and every once in a while God has to convict us of something that we have done. So the Bible is the inspired Word of God. You know, it's kind of interesting because I remember back the many, many years ago to my first year of Bible college, and this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, in one translation, it says all Scripture inspired of God or something like that. Anyway, it leaves a doubt that all Scripture is inspired. But I believe what it says here, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired of God. And yes, let's face it, we as human beings don't always like to hear what the Word of God says, because it does convict us of our sins. So what does the God-breathed Scriptures have to say about who is first? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Some of you will remember that that Scripture is what? It is the first commandment that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai as God gave him the Ten Commandments that Israel was to live by. And what was that very first commandment? It was telling them who was to be first in their life. And it says, "You are to have no other gods before me." Plain and simple. No other gods before me. I am first. Now you got to think back into the days of the children of Israel, as they have left Egypt's bondage. They had been in Egyptian captivity for 400 years. And did the Egyptians serve one God, the true God? Absolutely not. They served a variety of gods. And sometimes when you're around that, you know why the Bible tells us to stay away from things that are sinful? Because if you're around it enough, it'll begin to rub off on you if you're not careful. And just like that, some of this stuff had started to rub off on the Israelites here. And he is saying, "I am God, and you are to serve no other gods." A lot of the trouble we've had over the years in Christianity is the fact that sometimes we went out and we did, quote unquote, some forced conversions, and we let them keep their gods too. And we let them keep some of the things that were not of God, that they brought with them, some extra baggage here. But we are to have no other gods. And you say, "Well, I don't worship any other gods today. I only worship Jehovah God, Yahweh God. I only worship Him." But if we look around, we find that so many of us are carrying a baggage of other gods around with us that we don't even think about. Exodus 23:13 goes on to say, "Pay attention to everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods or even let them be heard crossing your lips. Don't even mention their name. Goes on in Judges 10:13. He's giving him a warning here. He says, "Yet you abandoned me and served other gods. Therefore I will not rescue you anymore." You know, I think sometimes some people, they ignore the things of God. They forget who is God. They put all these other gods before him of whatever it may be. And then they get in trouble, and what's the first thing they do? They come running asking for prayer. Pray for me. Pray for me that I'll get out of this mess that I got myself into. God says right here to them, "Hey, you do this, I'm not going to rescue you." Some people think that God is the magic potion sometimes. Oh, well, I can go out and do whatever, and if it backfires on me, I'll just ask God to get me out of this mess. Don't always work that way. You better remember what that scripture had to say. It says, "I will not rescue." He said, "I am not obligated to rescue you anymore. If you want to serve something else, then let it save you." So what is the most important thing we are to do with our life? Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 says, "You are to serve Adonai your God." King James says you're to serve the Lord your God. "He will bless your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you." Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "So now, Israel, all that Adonai your God asks from you, to fear Adonai your God, follow all his ways, love him, and serve Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being. Hear, O Israel." It applies to us today. Hear, O Christian. You are to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all you've got. You are to serve the Lord your God. He is not saying, "Oh, just serve me half-heartedly. Just serve me when you feel like it. Just serve me when the Spirit moves upon you." He is saying, "You are to serve me in the good times and in the bad times. You are to serve me from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night. You are to serve me." Now, does that mean that we have to follow like some people do and become in a cloistered group where we're just in there and we're doing nothing but saying a prayer all day long and not really getting a whole lot of anything done? No. But you know what? We can pray throughout the day. Because when we pray, prayer is what? It's the communication with God. It's talking to God. How many of you have cell phones? I think probably everybody here has a cell phone. This question some of you may not want to answer, but be honest with me here. How many of you ever talk on your cell phone when you're driving? Some of you raised your hand, some of you don't. Okay, well, if you can talk on your cell phone when you're driving, you can talk to God when you're driving. In fact, sometimes it might be a lot easier to talk to God when you're out there. You know? Some of those crazy people that are out there on the highways. I talk to people while I'm on my cell phone when I'm driving. I'll honestly admit that, but I'm careful as to where I do it. And most of the time when I get off in downtown Nashville, I get off the interstate, I say, "I got to get off the phone. I got to deal with all the crazies now. You know, I got to pay really good attention." But if you can talk on your cell phone while you're driving, you can talk to God while you're driving. You can talk to God while you're at work. And yes, believe it or not, you can talk to God in school. Don't mean you have to pray out loud. God understands the thoughts of your heart. And you can pray to God silently sometimes. and here's what's going on. We can talk to God all throughout the day that way. We can communicate with Him. We can serve Him. We can be open to hearing that still small voice that we talked about last week as God speaks to us. Does God ever speak to you when you're doing something and you just feel this urge you can't get away from then to do what He told you to do? I was doing something the other day. And as I'm thinking about it, I felt God speak to me about it. And I had to stop what I was doing right there and take action on what God spoke to my heart to do. It didn't take me a lot of time to do it, but I did it. And you know what? I felt good when I done it because I did what God spoke to my heart to do. And there are times God speaks to our hearts, and something is very simple to do sometimes. Sometimes it's a little more difficult, but we can serve God with all of our heart, with all of our being, any time of the day. Now, I know that when we're asleep, it's a different story there. You might not have control over everything. But you know what? If we go to bed with the things of God on our mind, I believe that we'll have a night of God on our mind as well. Amen. I know I was dreaming. I dream some really crazy dreams sometimes. And I'm going to tell you all of what I dreamed last night. It was crazy. But every once in a while, something gets in, sticks in with him. And I dreamed I was going back to meet with the owner of a radio station, saying, I had a program on here 30 years ago, and I want to come back and be on your station again. And the station doesn't even exist anymore. But you know what? I was dreaming about some of the things of God there. God can put thoughts in our dreams. He can lay in our dreams things that may shape the day that's ahead of us too, if we serve God. So who is first and foremost in our life? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. Moses, as he's getting ready to give his final speech to the children of Israel. They're here in Deuteronomy. I don't know, maybe it's Joshua, not Moses here, but they're giving this speech. And it says, I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants. Loving Adonai your God, paying attention to what he says and clinging to him, for that is the purpose of your life. You know, sometimes we preach sermons about what's the purpose in life, you know, and people give seminars on what your purpose in life is and so on. Well, the Bible plainly tells us right here what our purpose in life is. It says, for that is the purpose of your life. On this depends the length of time you will live in the land. Adonai swore that he would give to you and your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it says here, love Adonai, your God. Pay attention to what he says and cling to him, for that is the purpose of your life. So the first thing in our life should be what? Should be God. Well, what comes next after that? Well, some people would throw this up still for a toss-up. Well, I can't decide whether it's family or country. And I say it's family. I say our family comes next because God gave us our family. He gave us as parents to take care of our children. And children, think about this because someday you may have to take care of me. But we are to take care of our family. We are to love our family. We are to look out for our family. And you know what? That is something that God just seemed to have put all throughout nature. Mary likes to watch these programs with animals in it, you know. And it was showing one last night where different types of animals were lonely and they made friends with another kind of animal that you would never think them having anything to do with. And one was a dog, and I forgot what the other critter was now, but anyway, It was a little goat, made friends with this puppy and played with it because he wanted someone to love and someone to pay attention to him. And they became like family. They became inseparable. Family comes next. And I know that some people, when it comes to saying country comes third, they can even debate that one there, whether or not it should even come third. And sometimes we get upset with what our government's doing. And a lot of us are not too happy with some of the things that are going on in our government today. But you know what? It's still the best place to live on the planet right now. One day there's going to be a better place. The Bible tells us a place called New Jerusalem that someday we as Christians are going to live in. And guess who's going to be the ruler there? It says Jesus is going to be the king. And we are going to be living under his leadership, under his kingship. And everything's going to be okay. But in the meantime, we have to put up with some of the craziness that goes on in government and some of the things. But we still have to be thankful to God for what we've got. And we still are thankful that we still have probably the most freedom when it comes to religion of any place on the planet. Although, again, that's kind of ebbing away a little bit. But God is the most important thing in our life. That's the thing I want to stress today. You can fight, fuss, debate, whatever, throw tantrums, whatever you want to do over the order of these things, but the Bible very plainly tells us the most important thing in our life, the thing that comes first, is God. And what happens if we put God first? He'll take care of the rest. Because when we put God first, we're saying, God, I put my life. Simple as that. I put my life into your hands. I am trusting you now to take care of me. Because I got to admit, sometimes family, as much as we love them, don't take care of us. Sometimes they don't look out for us. Now, I'm thankful for my family. I've not had them do any of that stuff. But some of you may have experienced times where family didn't take care of you. And they turned their back on you. Country doesn't always look out for us either. I just read on the news today, we just celebrated Veterans Day a couple of days ago. And there was a story of one veteran who was asked to step down as Grand Marshal on float, Veterans Day parade. You're just too old to be up there. How disrespectful can you get? So government doesn't take care of us. And I know right now, and there's probably some people that may listen to this message that might give me some flack over this, but government was not put here to take care of you. And a lot of people think, oh, well, we've got government, they'll take care of us. Look back in history when government took care of people and see what happened. God is the one that's going to take care of us. He's the only one that's got the power to take care of us. So put God first in our life. And when we put God first in our life, all these other things are going to work out. Oh, it may not work out the way that we expected it to, but it'll work out. Because you know what? He's the only one that really, really, really knows what's best for us. You think you know what's best for you, but we don't always. Sometimes the thing that we thought was best for us turns out to be a curse to us. But God knows what's best in our lives. And if we'll serve God, put Him first, and follow His leading, follow His pathway, He will guide us down the right path. Does that mean everything will be hunky-dory and it'll be all roses and chocolate candy and that kind of stuff? No. Still means there'll be some bumps once in a while, but He's going to get us to the right spot. He's going to get us to that heavenly home that He's prepared for us. Father, I thank You today for Your word. I thank you that you love us so much. I thank you, Father, that you gave us your written word, Father, the Bible, that you inspired men to write, that would give us guidance. And Father, when we need help, we can turn to your word and find that guidance. And Father, I pray today that if there are those that listen to this message outside of this building today, that maybe they've not been putting God first in their life and they put some of these other things in their life first. And things haven't been going well for them. They've been going through some hardship and some trials. Help them to realize, Father, that when they put you first, Father, you will take care of the needs in their life. Father, I thank you for this today, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.